morning. Life is the time to serve the Lord, to do His will, to learn His word. The hands with all your might pursue. Every day that we have is a blessing from God, and we must not take it for granted. We should be contemplating God's word every hour of our day, doing His will with all our strength, not because we have to, but because we want to see Him glorified, because we love Him. We meet here together each week in remembrance of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Christ gave His whole life to the service of His Father's will because He loved Him and wanted to see His Father's name glorified. He knew that no matter how much He suffered in the performing of this, that the joy He would have at His side would be worth the pain and all the suffering He endured. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus Christ sits now at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. But we must do our part. So the question is, do we in our hearts love God and try to do our best to do His will out of this love for Him? Luke 13:24 says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." None of us wish to be told at the judgment that we are unworthy of His mercy. So what is it that is required of us? Our answer is found in Mark 12:29. It says, "And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." In Joshua 22:5, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." In 1 Samuel 12:24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." To love God with all your heart, to seek him and serve him with all your heart. What exactly does that mean? There are several examples that we will look at this morning in scriptures of individuals who loved and served God with all their hearts. But before we look at these examples, I would like to tell you what inspired me to write this exhortation. I was having a conversation with one of our sisters in the truth, and we were discussing some of the recent trials we have faced in the body. And she said to me, "You know, I really hope that if I'm doing something wrong, that someone would come to me and tell me, because I really want to be in the kingdom. So if I'm not doing right, I want to correct it, because I really, really want to be in the kingdom and see it in all God's glory. I just want it that bad that I just don't want to be doing something wrong." What a great way to live life, with that being your biggest worry. Please tell me if there's anything else that you might see in me that I need to change so that I might have a better chance of entering into that glorious kingdom. This person keeps her lamp filled with the oil of the word of the Lord and faith, yet is ready and willing to be shown correction if there needs to be any, so that she might hear the words spoken unto her as the words in Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." This sister's faith is a good example of loving and seeking God with all your heart. Although you might think that you're doing what you need to be, you still search for self-correction to make sure you're not doing something that might keep you from that prize we all seek, to stand in the kingdom of God and see the world with a perfect heart and understand the glory of God. To seek God with all your heart, we must love His word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Great peace have they which love thy law." Do we love God's word? Is it our meditation all day long? We as a group separate a couple of hours on Sunday and an hour Wednesday evening to gather together and study God's word. If we are diligent, we come prepared, which means we have spent some time to prepare for class by doing some study on the subject at hand. We all do, or should do, our daily readings. Some of us spend time preparing classes for the children, and others exhortations and classes for the adults. Should we, by this time spent from our days, be able to think to ourselves, "Well, I think I'm doing pretty well. After all, I do a whole lot more than people in other religions today. There are just so many other things I need to take care of. I've got my family, my job, and all the other things I'm responsible for. I'm doing all I can." I sincerely doubt that any of us actually think this way. But isn't that what we are saying by our actions when we ignore the word for other pleasures that are more appealing to the flesh? Is it so hard for us to keep His word in our minds as we go about our day? The benefits of daily contemplation upon God's word can be extremely uplifting and help us fully realize the love that God has for us, and in turn helps us return that love to Him by our humble diligence to the study of His word. As the psalmist says, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Do we strive to understand all the love and the messages and teachings in His word? Is the study of God's word what we look forward to each day? Or is it just another chore that we feel we must do, like mowing the lawn or cleaning the house? Do we contemplate in our minds every day the great love that God has shown us in giving us a way of redemption through His Son, Jesus Christ. A man that lived his life perfectly in accordance with all the will of God. He lived a life of pain and sorrow, having to overcome his own flesh nature and all the trials that that involved. And all the time, knowing that it was only through his own shed blood that the plan of redemption for himself and all others could take place. He loved God. He loved the plan that God had set in motion to redeem man unto himself. And he also loved those who loved him and God, enough so that he was willing to die so that all those that he loved could be redeemed unto God. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." If we truly seek God with all our heart, we will love him and his Son, Jesus Christ, and return the love that he has for us by making his word the most important thing in our lives. I'd like to turn now to the example given us in 2 Kings 22:10. It says, "And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah, went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, said the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And if we continue on, we see that Josiah destroyed all the evil from the land and followed God with all his heart. So what was it within Josiah that made him so faithful? That when he heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes and humbled himself to God. There are those who would say it was because the law had been lost, and when it was revealed to him, he realized the sins of the people were guilty, the sins that the people were guilty of, and he repented of them. This is true. But Josiah's heart was already turned to following the Lord. In the account in 2 Chronicles 34, we read, in 2 Chronicles 34, 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And skipping down to verse 8, it says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And so it's in the 18th year of his reign that he sends men to repair the house of the Lord. So for 10 years, Josiah has, as it says in verse 3, been seeking after the God of David his father. Josiah obviously was seeking God with his whole heart for these 10 years. Prior to finding the book of the law, and then when the book was read to him, he was devastated to learn that they have not been following the laws of God. And he corrects this. I have no answer as to why, following all the evil in the land that was brought on by his predecessors, that Josiah would find it in his heart to follow God instead of the flesh. But he did. Josiah's heart was so turned to do the will of God that there seems nothing else mattered to him. Because of this, God must have seen in him a man that would do his will and called him for this purpose. We know that God does not make men what they are, but rather uses the natural character of certain individuals to do his will. I feel that God saw in Josiah a man that had a heart of a humble servant, and used him for the purpose of strengthening the people in the ways of God prior to their being taken into captivity into Babylon, so that they would remember their God while they were in captivity. Whatever the reason Josiah turned away from the evil of his father, we can see by the works of Josiah that he was a man that followed God and loved him with his whole heart. For it says of him in 2 Kings 23 and 25, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Another great example of loving God and meditating on His Word continually is in the Apostle Paul. Even before Christ had appeared unto Paul and he was persecuting the believers, he was zealous towards God's law. Paul was not going to let what he saw as heresy at the time continue among the Jewish community. He would search out and destroy this false doctrine preached by Jesus' followers. This was a man whose heart was zealous for God. In Acts 8, it says, in 8:3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the ecclesia, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison." And also in Acts 9, 1 and 2, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." This zealousness for God's law was, I'm sure, the reason that Christ chose to appear unto Paul to convert him. For in Acts 9 and 3 it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarshish. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. From this time forward, Paul never looked back. His love for God and His Word were his constant meditation all the day. Through great trials and tribulation, he preached the Word of God to all that would listen. Paul walked away from his former life because he loved God and wanted to do His will. And it was shown unto him the true way. He followed it. Paul says of preaching the gospel in 1 Corinthians 9:17, For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. We must love God with this same zealousness, so that each day, no matter what problems of life that day may bring, We can take comfort in His Word. Would it not be wonderful if it were said of us, as it was said of Enoch, that we walked with God? Genesis 5:24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." In Hebrews 11:5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Enoch lived within 600 years of the time in which God determined that man was only evil continually and deserved to be destroyed. The world in Enoch's day, I would guess, would be no less evil than our own. Yet he found it within himself to turn from this evil and love God with his whole heart. And what of David, a man who was called by God, a man after mine own heart? Yes, David followed God with his whole heart, wishing only to do his will and see his name glorified. And when he had times of weakness, he humbly bowed himself to God's will and counted upon his mercy. Because of his great love and faith, we can see how God also loved David by the promises he made to him and his seed forever. We can read in Psalm 89, starting at verse 20. "I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." Brothers and sisters and friends, there are no mountains that have to be moved. There are no enemies standing at the gates to be slain. We are not greatly persecuted at this time in history for our faith. The battle we must fight is instead perhaps the hardest one. The opponent is our own selves, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. These we must overcome for our mind, that our minds might be full of God's word and our hearts filled with love for him. So much so that our very existence is a yearning to do his will and glorify his name, that he might see in us humble servants worthy of his mercy.